People of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, our last week here in this chapter. If you're using the Black Pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you, if you're in the front or back rows, this is on page 903. And once again, we'll read together the whole prayer. So when you get to John chapter 17, page 903, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? John chapter 17, beginning at verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray and give thanks to him for it. Indeed, Father, we give thanks to you for your word. And we pray now that by your Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand. Cause us, Father, here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, and so love others like you love. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our opening song this morning, and also our call to worship this morning from Revelation chapter 15, or a celebration of the holiness of God. We sang this. This is how we began our worship service. You are holy. You are holy, O God. Now, it's interesting, because in our culture today, I think in many ways our culture today, it's all about knowing and being known, isn't it? It's all about authentic relating. It's all about conversations and one-on-ones and coffee houses. And well, that's kind of how we like our God, too, isn't it? Close and relational and intimate and friendly. And don't hear anything I'm not saying. Even though he is those things, he is close in relationship and intimate. But I think when we emphasize these things, it's easy for us to lose sight of God's holiness. Now, the word holy simply means set apart. And so the holiness of God is this attribute of God which describes his otherness. He's not like us. And we're not like him. He doesn't work like us. He doesn't think like us. He doesn't act like we do. He's beyond us. He's above us. He's other than us. He is holy. He's the creator. We're the creature. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe. And actually, apart from God moving toward us, we cannot actually be close to him. Unless God makes himself known to us, we can't actually have relationship with him. Unless God reveals himself, we cannot know him at all. We see that in our text this morning. Actually, one of our elders, Alan Lenny, pointed out to me earlier this week all the times in this prayer that the word give or given or form of the word give is used. And if you have time this afternoon, just read through the prayer. Mark all of this. It really is incredible and highlights the divine initiative, right? We can't know God unless God initiates toward us. We can't know God unless God stoops down and makes himself known to us. We cannot know God unless God reveals himself to us. And he has. He has revealed himself to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. Jesus Christ reveals God to us. This is the primary message of the book of John. The apostle John, one of Jesus' 12 apostles, he's writing this account of the life and ministry of Jesus. And he tells us, chapter 20, verse 21, he writes this. He says, this is why I'm writing. Chapter 20, verse 21. I'm writing these things to you so you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John is writing so that we might know God through Jesus Christ, who reveals God to us. And these chapters in John that we've been studying throughout the summer, chapters 14, 15, 16, 17, they describe the events of Jesus' life that are leading up to his death and resurrection. And as Jesus prepares to leave his disciples, they ask him, disciples come and say, Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus, we want to see God, they say. And Jesus replies, actually, friends, you already have. If you've seen me, you've seen him. If you know me, Jesus says, you know God. Jesus Christ reveals God to us. So all throughout this prayer in John 17, Jesus reminds us that he reveals God. He's the one who gives eternal life. And what is eternal life? It's knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus completed the work the Father gave to him. Verse 6, Jesus proclaimed God's name. Verses 8 and 14, Jesus gave us God's words. Verse 22, Jesus gives us God's glory. Verse 26, Jesus reveals God's love to us. Through his words, through his life, through his unity with God and his people, Jesus Christ reveals God to us. And that's what he prays for us in this text. He prays that we too would reveal God to others. And actually in the very same ways. Through our words, through our lives, through our unity. Since Jesus Christ revealed God to us, we ought then turn and reveal God to others. And here's the focus this morning. We reveal God to others through our words, through our lives, through our unity. Since Jesus Christ reveals God to us, we must reveal God to others. So first this morning, we reveal God to others through our words. Notice throughout this prayer in our text, John chapter 17, notice how Jesus reveals God to his people. Verse 6, they have kept your word. Verse 7, they know that everything you have given me, Jesus, given to Jesus, is from you. How? How do they know that? Verse 8, I gave them your word. Look, people of God, knowing God, the revelation, the revealing of God, it comes through God's word. So verse 13, the joy of Christ that is in us, belief in Jesus and the joy that follows, it comes from the word of God. It comes from Jesus proclaiming God's words in the world. Jesus Christ, the word of God, the mediator of God's word, Jesus Christ reveals God to us through his word. Well, so what this means then is if you want to know God, if you want close relationship with God, if you want intimacy with God, if you want friendship with God, it's right here. We know God through his word, through the Bible. This is the primary reason that we're changing some of our approach to Sunday evenings. If you were here last Sunday at our congregational announcement during Sunday school, it also went out in the email. If you weren't here, if you don't get the email, if you're a guest with us this morning, want to know what we're doing, just grab me after the service. I'd love to tell you about it. But one of the reasons we're changing some of what we do on Sunday nights is we want to help God's people get into God's Word together. Because it's only through the Word of God that we know God and meet God and experience God. God reveals Himself through His Word. And then, as we know God, we turn and reveal God to others. You see, friends, knowing God, it's not just for ourselves. It's not just this prize that I get and I get to hang on to. It's not just so that we can have a close, intimate relationship with God. That's part of it. But part of knowing God is making God known. So look at verse 18. Here's Jesus' prayer. As the Father sent Jesus into the world, so now also Jesus sends His people into the world. We'll then move down to verse 20. How is it that Jesus sends His people into the world? How is it then that we reveal God to others? Verse 20. It's through our words. Those who believe in Jesus, through their words. The people yet to believe in God come to faith in Jesus Christ through our words. So what are the words that we use and by which God's people come to faith in Him? What are the words by which others will believe in Jesus? They're the same words that Jesus used, aren't they? Look at verse 8. The Father gave His words to Jesus, and Jesus then gave His words to the disciples, and those are the very same words by which we reveal God to others. It's through the Word of God. It's by hearing the Word of God that the Holy Spirit brings faith to His people. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to bring His people to faith. And so these are the same words that we use to reveal God. They're the very words of God Himself. Here's the point, friend. Verse 20. And I hope you can hear, if you're familiar with the writings of the Apostle Paul, I hope you can hear echoes of the Apostle Paul, even in verse 20. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. Belief in Jesus comes through us revealing God with the Word of God. So, parents, this morning, the most important thing you do for your children's faith is share God's Word with them. The most important thing you do for your children's faith is to read God's Word together. It's to study God's Word together. It's to spend time every single day in God's Word as a family. It's how God reveals Himself to us. We need to be in His Word. With your neighbor, if you're sharing the gospel with a neighbor, with a classmate, with a coworker, start a Bible study. Meet together and say, hey, could we just read some of the Bible together? Do whatever it takes to get them into God's Word, because it's not your words that changes lives, it's God's Word that changes lives. This is another reason that we ought to memorize Scripture. Right? Isn't it strange? If you've grown up in the church, isn't it strange? Growing up in the church, you likely memorize Bible passages, whether in Sunday school or in a devotion, or if you attended a midweek Bible study, you memorized Bible passages. But then all of a sudden, when we get older, when we become adults, all of a sudden we stop taking time to memorize Scripture. Why do we do that? Why do we stop hiding God's Word in our heart? We need God's Word. We need to hide it in our hearts. We need to memorize it so that when we need it, the Holy Spirit brings those verses back up to mind and encourages us or rebukes us or challenges us or leads us. And then when we're revealing our faith, when we're revealing God to others, when we're sharing our faith with those around us where we live and work and study and play, we've got God's Word in our hearts and He brings it out of our mouths. Because it's not my words that changes lives. It's God's Word. It's God's Word that changes hearts and changes lives. We reveal God through our words by sharing God's words with others. But notice here also this morning in Jesus' prayer. Jesus doesn't give us His words simply for us to turn and give it to others. We're not simply this means by which God gives it to us just so we can give it to others. He also gives it so that we too might know God. He also gives it so that we too might live by His Word, that we might live by it. Look at verse 6. As Jesus is praying for His disciples, look what He says of them. He says, they've kept Your Word, doesn't He? They've lived by it. They've obeyed it. That Word, it shaped how they thought and how they felt and how they believed and how they acted. The Word of God shapes their lives. And so what we see then is God has revealed not only through our words, but also through our lives. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, Jesus is praying that his people would be sanctified in the truth. In other words, sanctify, it simply means to make holy or to set somebody or something apart for God. Well, then in verse 19, we see the same word again. Jesus sanctifies or consecrates himself so that his people might then be sanctified. In all three places, the same Greek word, the New Testament originally written in Greek, in all three places, the same Greek root is used for each of these words. It means to be set apart. It means to be made holy. So Jesus is praying essentially, verse 17, make them holy in your truth. Set them apart for yourself through your truth. Verse 19, just as I set myself apart, just as I make myself holy, so that they also may be holy and set apart. What this means here is this. The work of Jesus Christ, his perfect sinless life, his death on a cross in our place, his resurrection from the dead, they are all the means by which we are set apart and made holy. It's Jesus' blood that cleanses us from our sins. It's Jesus who grants us access to relationship with God. It's Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that enables us to know God and enables us to obey God's word, which is the role of truth here. Notice verse 17. Your word is truth. It's through the word of God that our lives are sanctified, because the word of God shows us how to live. The word of God teaches us what God desires of our lives. The word of God teaches us what pleases our Heavenly Father. But there's a trap here, friends. If we're not careful, there's a trap right here. Because as you read the Bible, it soon becomes really clear that the world and the enemy are opposed to Jesus and his people. The world tries to seduce us away from him. The enemy hunts us and seeks our harm. And here's the trap. It's easy to begin to believe that the best way to be holy, the best way to be sanctified or set apart from God, is simply to withdraw from the world, to cloister ourselves and to close off communities. You see, if only we could withdraw from the world, then we'd be safe, and our kids would be safe, and our families would be safe. If only we could withdraw from the world, we could be holy, and we could live lives that please God. But friend, that's a trap that misunderstands God's word and his purposes for our lives. Just look at how the text is laid out. Verse 17. Verse 17, sanctify them in your truth. Again, verse 19, that they may be sanctified in truth. But look what's right in between. Verse 18. I have sent them into the world. Notice, friends, sanctification, holiness, it doesn't come from withdrawing or hiding from the world. It comes alongside of being sent into the world. Think about that just for a moment. Sanctification and holiness, it doesn't come from withdrawing or hiding from the world. It comes alongside of being sent into the world. And of course, we need to remember we're sent into the world, but we don't belong to it. Jesus makes this really clear. Yeah, I don't belong to the world, he says, and they don't belong to the world. We're in it, we're not of it. We're in it, but set apart from it. We're in it, but we don't belong to the world, but to God. And what I hope you're beginning to see here in this passage is this. Holiness, it's of course part of our thanking God. He has made us part of his family. He gave his son to live and die and rise again for us. And we respond by offering our lives as a living sacrifice. Jesus, I want to thank you. And so here I am. Do with me as it pleases you. We live by his word because we know that's what pleases him. We offer our lives as a response of thanksgiving to the God who has loved us and saved us. But there's more to holiness than that. Holiness is also a means by which God is made known to the world. I think this is a key theme in the Gospel of John. Now, the Apostle John, he's writing to Jewish people of his time who don't yet believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. That's what he says in chapter 20. He says, I'm writing so that you would believe Jesus is the Messiah, so you would believe Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing you might have eternal life. Now, these Jews to whom John is writing, they understand that holiness, being set apart, being sanctified, they understand holiness is a primary means of revealing God to the world. This is a core part of what it means to be Jewish. Part of the reason the Jews practice circumcision is to proclaim to the world, we treat sex differently than you do. Sex is more than pleasure and a good time. Sex is about intimacy and relationship and covenant and commitment. Marriage, circumcision proclaims. Marriage, it points to our union with and our belonging to God. It's about commitment and provision and intimacy. Holiness in our lives, it reveals God. Sabbath practices. The Jews don't work on Saturdays, right? And it was a means of proclaiming to the world about who their God is. We don't worship money like the rest of the world. We don't live for the things that the world lives for. We're not afraid of not having enough because our God provides. Our God lives. Our God takes care of us. Holiness reveals God to the world around us. You see, the laws of the Old Testament for the Jews, they were about proclaiming to the world who God is and what our God is like. He's good and he's kind and he's loving and he takes care of us. Holiness in our lives reveals God. That's what Jesus teaches us to pray in this prayer in John 17. That we would be sanctified. That we would live holy lives. Lives set apart for God because God reveals himself through our lives. As we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, as we learn to live and love like Jesus, as we're sanctified more and more by God's word, learning more and more how to keep it and how to obey it, as we grow in holiness, we're proclaiming God to the world around us, revealing God through our lives. So we see God reveals himself through our words and through our lives. Now, one of the primary ways that our lives reveal God to the world around us is through how we treat one another in here. It's through how we treat fellow members of the community of Christ. You see, God reveals himself through our words. He reveals himself through our lives. And he reveals himself through our unity. Four times. Four times in this prayer, Jesus prays for our unity. Verse 11, he prays that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. Verse 21, he prays that all his people would be one, just as the Father is in him and we are in them. Verse 22, he prays that we would be one, even as the Father and Jesus are one. And then in verse 23, Jesus prays that we would become perfectly one. Jesus prays for our unity. But note here, friends, unity does not mean uniformity, right? Unity doesn't mean that we all look alike. Unity doesn't mean that we all think alike. Unity doesn't even mean that we all agree on everything. In fact, in some ways, I think unity actually means the exact opposite of all of that. Unity doesn't mean uniformity. Instead, it means united together in spite of our differences. Unity despite our differences. I think this is one of the fun things about this opening song that we sang, where the men are singing one thing and the women are singing something different. We're singing totally different words, and yet we're united together in song and united together in our praise of the Father. Unity, even though we're singing very different things. Now remember, John's writing this account of the life and ministry of Jesus. He's writing to a predominantly Jewish audience. And the Jews are living in a Gentile world, living in a non-Jewish world. A world full of all kinds of tensions and division. In the Roman Empire, if you're not a Jew, you typically hate the Jews. Roman society hated the Jews. They're different, they're weird, they're segregated from everybody else. And even as the gospel begins to spread, as Jesus communities begin popping up all over the Roman Empire, a key tension in the early Christian church was this racial and cultural tension that existed between Jewish followers of Jesus and non-Jewish followers of Jesus. A tension that reflected the world around them. Communities and cities fractured by division, fractured by politics, fractured by personal rivalries. Sound familiar to anyone? Our own culture looks like that, doesn't it? Doesn't look that different from the ancient world. Personal agendas, political conflict, division and strife and hatred. But friends, it's into a fractured culture. It's into a divided world that God sends his church to make himself known. And a key means of proclaiming the gospel, a key means of revealing God to the world around us is through our unity. Again, not conformity, but unity. And notice in our prayer, unity, it's rooted in truth. It's the words and the works of Jesus Christ that unite us. It's through Jesus Christ that we've been reconciled to God. It's through Jesus Christ that we've been made daughters and sons of the Most High. It's through Jesus Christ that we've been made part of a family, the single family of God, sisters and brothers together. Our unity, it's rooted in truth. It's rooted in God's word. And our unity, it flows from God's glory. Look at verse 22. This is an incredible thing that Jesus says in his prayer. The glory that God gave to Jesus, Jesus has given to us. Interesting, in each of the four verses in which Jesus prays for our unity, verses 11 and 21 and 22 and 23, our unity with each other, it flows from our union with God that comes through Jesus Christ. Right? So as Jesus is in the Father, so we are in the Son. And the very glory of God, it flows from us to the world around us. Listen, friends, as Jesus is in the Father, so we are in the Son, and the very glory of God flows from us to the world around us, revealing God. Our unity flows from God's glory. It's rooted in truth. It flows from God's glory, and it's united in mission. Our unity reveals God to the world. These verses, they keep coming back to this mission, united in mission. May they be one so that the world may believe. May they be one so that the world may know that you sent me and love them. May they be one so that they may believe in the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Our unity reveals God to the world, rooted in truth, flowing from God's glory, united in mission. Friends, how we treat one another in here, it matters. How we treat others in general matters, but how we treat each other in the community of Jesus Christ especially matters. Because through our lives, through the way that we treat one another here, the world is learning something about God. The world's learning what we actually believe about God by the way we treat one another within the community of Jesus Christ. Our unity, our love and care for one another, our sacrificing ourselves for the sake of each other, our unity reveals God to the world around us. Early in Jesus' prayer here in John 17, Jesus says this. This is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We know God only because he has revealed himself to us. We know God only because he has initiated toward us and made himself known to us. And this revelation of God, it comes through Jesus Christ, through his life and death and resurrection, through his words and his life and his unity with the Father. All through Jesus, we know God. And since Jesus has revealed God to us, he prays that we then would turn and reveal God to others. And God reveals himself to others through our words as we share God's word with those around us. Through our lives, as we're sanctified, as we're set apart, as we're made holy, so that the world might know God through our lives. And God reveals himself to others through our unity as they watch how we treat one another, learning what we believe about God, learning who our God is. Through our words, through our lives, through our unity, God reveals himself to the world around us. So will you join me and let's pray for God's revelation of himself. Indeed, Father, we pray that you would reveal yourself to the world around us, even through us. We give thanks to you, Father, that it was not because of anything that we have done, not because we loved you, but because you loved us and sent your Son for us and pursued us and sent your Holy Spirit to call us to yourself. It's because you initiated toward us that we know you. So now, Father, as we grow in your likeness, would we initiate toward others so that through us, by your Spirit, by your word, even by our words and lives and unity, you might reveal yourself to this world around us. We pray, Father, for those with whom we live or around whom we live, those with and around whom we work, those with and around whom we study, those with and around whom we play and recreate, Father, these particular names that you bring to mind right now, we pray for them, Father. Holy Spirit, would you quicken their hearts? Holy Spirit, would you make them alive with Christ, even though we are dead in our sins and trespasses? Holy Spirit, would you give them faith, because it's your words that gives life, not ours. Would you be pleased, even through us, even through our words and lives and unity, to draw your people to yourself Thank you for making yourself known to us. Give us courage to make you known to those around us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.